talking about the Samaritan woman and the Samaritan people and Jesus' ministry among them. 4:28 is where we are. Let's have a word of prayer. You don't need to pick on you, too. Brother Vic, do you want to come up here and lead us in prayer, brother? You're right here. Handy.
Father, we thank you that we can be here this evening. We just pray that you would guide our study tonight, inspire our hearts, and help us fall more deeply in love with your word. Bless Brother Jim as he teaches us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hedrion, Altes, He, Gene, Kai, Apieltan, Ace, Tain, Polin, Kai, Lege, Tois, Anthropos. It actually starts out with un, or therefore, that little particle there. And therefore, she left. Punctiliar knife blade action. She left. The water pot of her. The woman. Alright? Now, as we come up to here, we find that this Samaritan woman was a very immoral person. Had been immoral all of her life. She'd had quite a few husbands. How many husbands did she have?
Five.
And probably was a mistress. I imagine she was somebody else's mistress right now. We know that. Okay? And she had a bad reputation. She came there at noon when all the other women had drawn their water by then. And so to avoid them. And then Jesus, which is a master teacher and God the Son. Don't ever forget he's God the Son, okay? But he's a Jew and he talks to her. Which is extremely unusual. This woman just about falls over because he asked her for a drink of water, and she is an ungodly woman, and she is a Samaritan. She's a dog as far as the Jews are concerned. And this Jew is asking her for a drink. And he's actually going to drink water from her out, basically from her hands. Now that really is just flabbergasting to her. When his disciples come up, they're flabbergasted because he's been talking to her. And what was the Jewish, the rabbinical law about a man talking to a woman in public? That was forbidden, better rotten. No good. And matter of fact, they could have stoned him for that, according to their law, but not God's law. All right, and she immediately left the water pot. This woman, and she went away unto the city. And she says to the men, a lot of men there. Dute, edete, anthropon, hos, epe, moi, panta, ha, epoesa, mete, utos, esten, ho, Christos. And she said, come and see the man. All right, come and see the man. This man, who he said to me all which is I did. Told me my whole life story. Now, you remember, where did the tarot card and the palm readers come from in history? Judaism. So this is not brand new to them. They were in the charismatic movement before the charismatic movement ever began. Did you know that? Yeah, they were. Very, very through history, they've done all kinds of weird and wild things. Okay? Which is idea. And they, actually, I made to happen. And then he says, not this one, he is the Christ. She said, he's the Christ. He's the Messiah. So now, if you were to walk into Bakersfield today and get out there on Chester Avenue and 19th Street or whatever and start, I have found the Messiah, you'd probably get some attraction. But if you'd done that before radio and television, you'd have got a lot of attraction. That's, you know, they wanted to hear something brand new all the time. Well, anyway, she said, I have found the Messiah. Now, who is speaking? This wild woman. This ungodly woman. This woman that has been of ill repute. And she's starting to talk religion. She's starting talking religion. And she's not drunk either. Audie Murphy, when he was in World War II, his company that he had one guy there they called Snuffy. Snuffy was out of Virginia, and he was way back in the hills. He was a bootlegger. He was raised back there. And the first letter he ever got in his life was when he got his draft notice in World War II. And he thought it was the revenuers after him. Anyway, he got in the army. He was a pretty good soldier. With Audie Murphy, he had to be. And when he got drunk, he started preaching. And sometimes they'd have to knock him out to shut him up. The more drunk he got, the more he preached. Because back in the hills, that's what they did. They drank and they preached. They were very religious. Very religious. This woman wasn't drunk. Have you ever seen people that were drunks and when they got drunk they started preaching? I have. This woman wasn't drunk, but she's preaching. But she was an ungodly woman, and she's dead sober. And she goes in there and said, "I have found the Messiah." Now let's see what happens to the city. Let's see what happens. 4 and verse 30. We've got a flash flood. XL phone. Ek, teis, polios, kai, erkonta, pros, auton. And they went out. The whole city, the entire city, Exodus. They left the city and they went to where Jesus was. That's quite a congregation now. And they kept on coming. And what voice is that in? What voice is that? Rebecca, do you see down there what voice? Can you read what voice that is in?
Middle voice.
Middle voice. That means they were doing it by volition, weren't they? By their own volition. They were coming because they wanted to hear. They heard, and this was quite an event. Now, what had happened there in Nazareth when Jesus got up and said, and he read the scriptures in the synagogue where he was, and he read the scriptures, and he said, now, this is fulfilled this day in your ears. What did they do? They wanted to kill him. The Jews had rejected him. And now these half-breeds that weren't exactly religiously correct, but they were interested, weren't they? They were interested. A large flowing gathering, like the floodgates were open. People this woman of such character could really influence people. There was a... How many of you ever heard of the name Cole Younger? Cole Younger. Yeah. The Youngers and the Daltons and the James. The Youngers and the Daltons, their mothers were sisters. You know that almost every one of those people were preachers? Al Jennings became a preacher after his outlaw life. Cole Younger became a preacher. Jesse James' father was a preacher. He founded five Baptist churches back there, and they went from church to church. The churches were hiding them out because they were robbing the bad guys, the banks and the railroads were not upright characters. They were rats. This woman was an outlaw. Now she becomes a witness for the Lord. 4:31. Into Mataksu Eroton Alton Hoi Mathete Lagontes Rabbi Spage. Now remember what the disciples left and went into the town for. What did they go for? Food. They were hungry. They didn't have any food. They run out of food. And Jesus, they hadn't had any food for a long time and didn't have any water. And he asked the woman for a drink. And I don't know whether he ever got a drink. Do you know? Did she ever draw him some water? Or, I don't know. Maybe. They got sidetracked a little bit, didn't they? He forgot about eating. You ever forget to eat? Used to do that all the time. Forget to eat. Get busy and forget to eat. When you got low blood sugar, when you got diabetes, brother, when you forget to eat, you remind it sometime down the road. Yeah. And in the meantime, in the meanwhile, between one person after another, they kept on. Look at that word, third person plural, imperfect, indicative, active. They kept on questioning him, interrogating him. That's what the word interrogate means. They kept on interrogating him. The disciples continued saying, Rabbi, doctor of letters, eat something. All right. The things of the Spirit were more important to Jesus than the physical things. By the way, the woman just left off everything she was doing and she went to town and started witnessing, didn't she? She forgot all about her earthly needs and went to the spiritual side. 4:32. Ho, de, apen, altois, ego, brosen, echo, bagain, hain, hemes, uk, oidate. And we start out with the day, week, adversity, conjunctive, particle. Page 85. If you want to write that down, I didn't write it down. Guess better do that. Moreover, the one he said to them, I good food. That's brosis. I good food I have. I have nutrition that you don't know about. By the way, it's used in John 4:34, 6:27, 6:55. Good eating I have to eat. Phagein. Here's two words to eat for food and to eat there. Which ye not, ye understand, for ye know. Have you ever got so excited in God's Word that you just didn't want to lay it down and just forgot about everything else? Have you done that? Elegon. Un hoi mathete pros allelus me tis enek ken alto phagein. And he kept on saying, they kept on saying, therefore, the disciples, Mathetes. Mathetes means what? What does Mathetes mean? Remember what that means? Habitual learners. Habitual learners. To the one another. Has anyone given him something to eat? Has anyone brought food to him to eat that we don't know about? All right. Has anyone brought food to him to eat that we don't know about? 4:34. See, we're moving along tonight too, aren't we? Lege, altois, ho esus, emon, broma, esten, hina, poieso, to, dilema, tu, pampsantos. me, kai, teleusen, teleuso, alto, to, ergo. And he says to them, to Jesus, my food it is, in order that I shall perform the will of the one having sent me. Who sent him? Huh? God, the whole Godhead sent him. The Father, the Holy Spirit, and himself. According to John 1 and 18, he brought himself out of eternity into space and time. And in John 1, 14 it says, and the Jehovah, or the Word, flesh, he became for himself. He brought himself into the world. All right? The whole Godhead is behind this. The whole Godhead. The will of the one having sent me, that I may bring to an end of him the work. All right? The full program, God's eternal purpose. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. 4:35. Uk, hemeis, legete, hote, eti, petra menos. Heston, kai, ho, therismos, erkete, idu, lego, hemen, eparate, tus, ophthalmos, himon, kai, theosaste, tas, koros, hote, lukai, essen, pros, the Raismon a day. He said, not ye say, because yet there's 3 months. There's 3 more months. It is, and the harvest, the rosmos, the harvest. That's reaping time. It comes. By the way, it comes for itself. It happens automatically. You know, You plant a seed in the ground, and it's in so many months it's going to be grown, and the harvest is there. And that's middle voice also, see. Behold, for yourself, I say to ye, lift up the ophthalmos. Have you ever heard of an ophthalmologist? All right, that's an eye doctor, isn't it? All right. Ophthalmologist, the eyes of you, and behold for yourself. Look at that. Each one of them, behold for yourself, middle voice. The fields, because white, they are toward harvest already. What's he talking about? Is he talking about the fields? No. He's using that as an illustration, isn't he? The fields weren't ready to be harvested yet. It's going to take 3 months. But you know what? People are ready to hear the Word of God. They are ready to hear God's Word. The fields here are the Samaritans. And God had prepared their hearts, had He not? He used this woman. It said earlier in this chapter, it said that it was bindingly necessary for Jesus to go by the way of Samaria. Why? Because there's a whole bunch of people there who were going to be saved. A whole lot of people there that were going to be saved. The seed was sown, and now the harvest of Samaritans had come in like a flood to hear and believe. To hear and believe. Now let's go on a little bit further. Ho, therizo, miston, labane, kai, sin age, Carpon, Ace, Zoane, Ionion, Hina, Speron, Himu, Kyre, Kai, Ho, Therizon. The one weeping, wages he receives. Alright? Wages, mistos. That's what it comes from, mistos. That's earned rewards. Alright? Jesus one time castigated the Jews for not paying their workers. Did he not? He said, these people work and you don't pay them. That's wrong. You know, that's sin. You know, when you get somebody to work for you, if you don't pay them, that's the sin. That's what Jesus told these people right then. He said, you need to pay them. He said, the one reaping wages, he receives. And he gathers fruit. Carpon, fruit, unto life eternal. He's using natural things here, like a parable, and telling that people are going out and reaping. One man sows and another man reaps. Isn't that the way it happens sometimes? Sometimes the same person sows and the same person reaps. But sometimes one man sows and another reaps. Unto life eternal. In order that the one sowing together that he may rejoice, and the one reaping. How many of you ever witnessed to somebody? And I know we got a lot of young people here. And 4 or 5 years later, they were saved. You ever done that? You didn't know anything about it. You witnessed to them one time. Donnie, that ever happened to your life? How many of you ever done that? Witnessed to somebody and then 4, 5, 10, like me now, 15, 20, 30, 40 years later, they come wandering up. One of my students, and he's been my student for 40 years, Fernando Montragon. I'll just use him because he wouldn't mind me using him for an example. He's worked out at Cal State College for a long time. And he's always been a real good witness. That guy is a great soul winner and a great witness. He doesn't care if they get saved right then. He just sows the seed, all the time sowing the seed. And he said there was this real bad guy, real ungodly buzzard, as Brother Madden used to call him, ungodly buzzards. He was around him, and he just kept witnessing to the guy and kept witnessing to the guy, and the guy didn't like him. Didn't like him at all. 15 or 20 years later, this guy walks up to him and just hugs him. He didn't like him now. 20 years before, did not like him at all. Steered clear of him. He walks up and hugs him and shakes his hand and hugs him again. And he said, brother, thank you for the great witness that you were in my life. I believed because of what you did. I didn't like it. I didn't like you witnessing to me. I didn't like the way you acted. I always felt like you were putting me down because you were better than I was. And he said, they found what you had. And that's wonderful. He said, man, that guy just floored me. I was out in my yard one time. I had moved to Nevada. And I was visiting with my boys where I used to live, and I had lived there for a long time. Anyway, these people come up in the yard. And they're young, grown people, a guy with a wife and children, 2 or 3 little kids. And he came by and he said, Brother Phillips, thank you for picking me up and taking me to church when I was a little boy. I had a bus ministry and I went around and picked the little kids up and everything else. He told me, and his dad hated me. His dad hated me. I mean, the kid, he had 5 boys, and I think 1 or 2 girls, and they were bad kids. These were bad kids. And I just went from door to door, witnessing to everybody and asking them to come to the church and things like that. And I went to his wife's house, and she was there, and she was crying because she was being mistreated by him. And her kids were all messed up, and they were in trouble at school and all kinds of stuff. And I just kind of shared the Word of God with her a little bit, and she wanted to be saved. So she was. It was really easy. That was a piece of cake. She was in trouble. All right. But then here come the kids. So I took the kids, and one after another, the kids got saved. One time I was coming back from church with them, and I had them in a van, and they just said, pull the car over. We all want to be saved. All the rest of them, so all of them were saved. The old man was threatening to burn my house, doing all kinds of stuff. He hated me. And I told him one time, went over there, I said, why in the world do you not like me so much? I said, your kids, you don't have to go to school anymore. You don't have to pick them up juvenile hall. You don't have to do any of this stuff anymore. I mean, this is really nice. Your wife is being sweet to you and everything else. Get out of here. I don't want to talk to you. Leave me alone. Well, the kid came up. He said, well, my mom divorced him. I said, yeah. He said, well, he went and robbed another service station. He was in prison once because he robbed a service station right down here. And then it clicked in my head. I was the guy he robbed. I was a young kid, about 15, 16 years old. He robbed me, and I'm real good with guns and faces and stuff like that at that time. And I told him what gun he had, everything about the bullet, the caliber, the whole shooting match. And I picked him out on the line, and I sent him to prison. And I'd forgotten about it. But he was back in prison, and his wife found a real good Christian man. And everybody was happy. Two of the kids had been killed by gangsters. But they were all saved. And he was happy. This things happened like this. This was like 20 years. I didn't know why a guy hated me so bad until that kid. If that kid would have not come back and told me this story, when he told me that he had robbed that liquor store down there and he went to prison and all that, I saw his face like it happened right yesterday. It just clicked. I never would have placed him in that. When he said that, I knew it. And that's why he hated me. But he could have been saved too. You know, there's a thief on the cross that got saved, huh? He was a thief and a murderer both. But he got saved. One of them didn't get saved, but the other one did. By the way, there might have been four of them. Did I drop a bomb on you? There might have been two on each side. There might have been five people, five crosses at that time. Some theologians believe that. How many of you have heard that? All right, there might have been five of them up there, Jesus in the middle of them, two on each side of him. The whole gang of robbers and Barabbas, these were the Sicarii, these were bad guys. All right, let's go on 437 now. Sometimes you reap what other men sowed, and sometimes you reap what you sowed. In souls, that is. You're always going to reap what you sow. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that same thing shall he reap. As simple as that. That's the law of sowing and reaping. In gar, tuto, ho logos, esten, alethinos, hote, alos, esten, ho, speron, kai, alos, ho, Several's own. For in this, the word, it is true, or he is true, that another he is the one sowing, and another is the one reaping. All right? I remember another time, I had an uncle that was a horrible person, Bill Stewart. And he tortured me when I was young, stole everything I ever had. He would pull my hair out, try to pull my ears off my head, stab you if he could, stick his dog on you, do anything. He was bad. He killed two men that I know of. I found one of them. He cut one man's head off. He stabbed another neighbor all the way through his body. He was in his house. He was an alcoholic. He was a wino. And he went into his house robbing his house. While he was robbing, he was stealing the vanilla extract and drinking his vanilla extract in his kitchen. Everybody was asleep, and he slipped in there in the kitchen, and he had the bottle of vanilla extract, downing it. And the guy came in there, Clifford Smith was his name, and he grabs his long butcher knife and stabs him all the way through his body. And just luckily, he didn't die. And the guy was so afraid of him that he wouldn't press charges against him. But Bill's father was a very godly man, Harry Stewart. That was my great-great-grandfather. All right? Harry Stewart was he was my great-grandfather. He was a very godly man, and he taught those boys the right way. He prayed for them. And I got two Bibles that were Bill's, and both of them his father gave me. One of them was 1903. And he gave him that Bible in 1902. when Bill was born. And when I was young, in my late 20s, early 30s, God put it on my heart. Bill was in the hospital, and he was dying he had gangrene in one leg, and they had to cut his leg off because of diabetes, because of being a wino. And I went up there, and I laid it on him. I said, "You are dying, and you are going to hell. And I don't know anybody else that ought to go to hell more than you. Because I've known you all my life. Remember all those times, I get toys. He'd steal my toys and sell them for wine. Whatever I had, he'd steal it and sell it for wine. When my grandmother was dying, she got run over and she was wanting to raise me. She was dying in the hospital. He was up there with me that night that she was dying and was telling the meat wagon's coming. He was laughing. He was mean. This guy was mean. And God put it on my heart to go witness to him. And I didn't want to, but I did it. And I did it deliciously, just like Jonah preached at Nineveh. All right? That's just about what I was doing. And I went there, and they're laying it on him. Boy, I mean, and Bill was bawling. He's laying up there with one leg dying in the Kern General Hospital. And I had a captive audience, and I was working him over. And then when I got through, and I said, "Well, Bill, now, you know, you're going to hell. I know all the stuff. I know the people you killed. And all the things you did and all the stealing and the lying and the cheating and everything else that you did all your life." And he even took Clark Gable's stepmother away from his father. Haven't you heard of Clark Gable? Her name was Gladys. He ran off with her. William Gable, he ran off with his wife in Oklahoma. Anyway, he did all kinds of stuff. But Bill said, "I want to be saved." I said, "God, the Lord died for you. Jesus died for your sins." He said, "I want to be saved." I said, "Lord, why are you getting me into this mess?" And I said, "This guy needs to go to hell. I mean, this guy ought to go to hell. I mean, I was glad to see him going to hell. I mean, that was the right way." Well, he prayed with me, and I prayed with him, and he was saved. And I'd go back and see him. He quit drinking. He started going to church. He got baptized. He was going with his sister. And when I'd come by, all the money he ever stole from me, he'd steal. When my grandmother died, he was in my house. Right when we went to the funeral, he slipped out and was stealing and robbing the house. And I went in there and I beat him half to death with a BB gun. I mean, I hated him. He was bad. Anyway, I'd go by and see him, and he'd give me a dollar or two to put in the offering. When he died, about 15 years after he died, my cousin called me, "Jimmy, do you want his Bibles? He had all his stuff from you. You know, all these little pictures and things you'd give him. I'd go by and visit him and give him a little thing." And he had some coins of the Bible. He had a picture of Jerusalem like that there. When I was in Jerusalem, I brought him back the picture. And they gave me his Bibles. When I opened up the Bibles, the first one, Harry Stewart gave him to his son, Willie. Grams named him after her brother Willie, that shadow of an Indian star Willie. Anyway, and she said, "I'm praying for you." And he marked out everything in the Bible for him to be saved. And this was 1902. This is when he was a baby. He gave him a Bible. And then in 1928, again, he gave him another Bible. And he wanted him to be a preacher. And look what he was. He said, "These will make good sermons, Bill." And then I said, "This is sowing and reaping. This is right here. This is what we're talking about." The prayers of his father were answered about 70 years after he prayed. And he was dead. And that old man witnessed to that boy. He had those Bibles. All the time that he was doing all the wild things he did in his life, he had those Bibles. And he had his prayers, his father's prayers on his back, whether he wanted them or not. And God saved that old buzzard soul. When I walked out of that hospital and he was saved, I was mad. I know what Jonah felt like. Exactly. I was mad. But Harry Stewart, my great-grandfather, prayed for that boy, And God answered those prayers 70 years later. Sowing and reaping. He sowed, and I reaped, and God used me to answer his father's prayers. And he got a preacher, after all. 438. Ego. Apestele. Himas. Therizain. Ho uk himes. Keka pia kate. Aloi. Keko pia kosin. Kai. Himes. Ace. Ton. Kopon. Alton. Ace ele luthate. I sent out with authority and purpose you to reap what not ye have labored for. You didn't sow it, but I sent you out to reap. Others, they have labored, and ye into the labor of them you have entered into. What was the greatest preacher and prophet until this time that had gone out and done a lot of preaching? John the Baptist. All right? All, Jesus didn't baptize anybody. But every one of his apostles and every one of his early church members were all baptized by John. They were all prepared. He prepared his bride for him. All right? These are going to be members of the church. He had prepared his bride. He had called them out. And when Jesus came, he presented his bride to him. And then he just walked off into obscurity. And some of the disciples still wanted to follow John, and John said no. And of course, they still did that. We know that later. We've seen that. 439. Yes.
Can you repeat that? I don't have any English in my phone.
You don't have any what?
There's no English on
yours. You don't have any English on yours? Okay. Ego is I. Apostle is sent out with authority and purpose, first person singular, first aorist, indicative active. And then himas is you, or you all. And then the razain is to reap. How in the world did they do that? What? Ho, uk, not, himes, ye. All right. Ke, ka, pa, kate. Ye have labored. And that means labored hard for. This is out in the hot sun. This means been beat up by hard labor. Okay? And others, they have labored. Ke, ka, pi, ka, sin. They have labored. And kai, himes. Unto ace, tone the labor, capon, of them, alton, ye have entered into. That word, ace, el, le, luthate. All right? Ye have entered into. Anything else there?
The last word,
ace, el, le, luthate. The word?
Yeah.
You don't have it down there?
It didn't come out.
It didn't come out. Okay. All right. Ye have entered into. Ye have entered into. And that second person plural. Second perfect. Indicative and active. All right?
So that's a compound word?
Oh, that's really a lot of compound words. Okay, ace is into, and L, Melos, that comes from Erkamai, believe it or not. Okay. All right, that's what it comes from. All right, ye have entered into, and then the suffix on that tells you it's second perfect, indicative active. It changes. See how this changed from that to that? All right. Let's go to 439 now. 439. Ek This one, is there something there, or is this one left out too? Okay. Ek, dei, teis, polios, ekinais, poloi, epi, ster, epi, stu, son, eis, auton, ton, samare, ton, dia, ton, logon, teis, genekos, matura, ruses, hote, apen, mu, panta, ha, epoesa. And out of the city that many, they believed. Many believed in him. Look at that word ace there. Extension, limitation, the thought of verbal action, that word ace. It means they believed completely. Through him. Completely. Through and beyond. They believed all the way from there to eternity in the future. They believed in him, the Samaritans, because of the word of the woman. Because of the witness of the woman. Now, this bad woman has now become a good woman. Alright? The one witnessing, because he said to me all which things that I have done. Alright. The flood of Samaritans had arrived. And he taught and preached for 2 whole days. Hos un elthon, pros auton, hoi samarite, heraton, auton, mene, par, autos, kai, emenen, eke, dio, hemeros. We have a continuous revival here in Samaria. Now maybe the disciples figured out why he was talking to that Samaritan woman, maybe. It was verboten. It was forbidden. He wasn't supposed to be doing that, but he did. And it paid off, didn't it? And then when therefore they came toward him, the Samaritans, they kept on interrogating him to remain with them. Now his own people and his own land had run him off, hadn't they? They wanted to kill him. Now he comes over here in this God-forsaken land, as the Jews would call it. And they're believing by the droves. These dogs, what they considered heathens, and religious nuts, believed. And he remained there 2 whole days. 2 whole days. 441. I'm trying to get over here to the next verse. That's where I was aiming. Kai, Paloa, Plios, Apestusan, Dia, Ton, Logon, Altu. And much more, and many, they believed. By the way, how many times do you get saved? It's punctiliary action. What tense is that? First aorist. If you're right in your mind theologically, it's going to be right grammatically. I can always tell you. You believe. You have volition. It's always going to be subjunctive. It's always going to be middle voice. Okay? God gives you the right to go to hell, if that's where you want to go. Or gives you the right to come into heaven. He's prepared. Julie asked a really good question last week. Is it possible that couldn't he only created the ones that were going to go to heaven? That people have been asking that for 2,000 years. He could have, but then we would have no volition, and the nature of God would not be known. The doctrine of hell is a very important doctrine in the Bible, because you can't understand God until you understand the doctrine of hell also. The doctrine of damnation, that's important to understand the person of God. We all like to hear that God is love and all of this, but God hates too. Does the Bible say that God hates? Yeah. Many, many, many of them, they believe because of the word of him. Now they're believing because of what he's saying. Okay? 442, and this one here is going to be the finale. Okay, yeah, yes, Brad.
Let me back you up before you get there. Believe in verse 41, you said that was subjunctive?
No, 41. It's indicative. They believed. When you believe, it's indicative. It's true.
Okay.
It's, yeah, that's
like
true. I mean, it happened.
Hold on.
It's indicative.
That's
when
important
you,
to get right.
Okay, that's very important. Okay. They believed. Puncture reaction. One time. They didn't have to believe 5 or 10 times or down the road later on. It's first aorist, which is knife blade, razor sharp, punctiliar action. Okay? Did you have something, Donnie? Do you? No. Hannah, you have a question? Nope. Okay. Let's go to 42 now. This is dynamite here. We just hit the pay dirt. Right here is a good one. Te geneke, elegon, hote, ukete, dia, tain, sain, laleon, pistuomen, auto, gar, ake, ko, men, kai, oidomen, hote, autos, esten, alethos, ho, soter, tu, kosmu. Do you have all of these cross references written down in that? You don't have them, do you?
Yeah.
You've got some of them you have here? Okay, I mean, there's a lot of them. 2 Timothy 1 and 10, 2 Peter 1 and 11, 2 Peter 2:20, 2 Peter 3 and 2 and 18, Matthew 1:21, Luke 2:11, John 1:29, Acts 5:31. 13:23, 1 Timothy 4 and 10, 1 John 4:14, Luke 2:11, John 4:42, Acts 5:31, 13:23, Philippians 3:20, Ephesians 5:23, Titus 1 and 4, 2:13, 3:6. Now the Romans called their emperors king and saviors. All right? The Romans called their emperors king and saviors. Julius, Augustus, Claudius, Vespasian, Titus, Trajan, Hadrian, and all the other Roman emperors, all were called the saviors. The saviors. The saviors. All right?
And I'm going to write those on the board.
Oh, okay. Now, I want you to go back to the book of Genesis. Go back to the book of Genesis. Bereshit. All right? Back to the book of Genesis. Now, Joseph was a type of Christ. Okay? Joseph was a type of Christ. And right here in this one verse, we see a double type. Where Joseph was a double type of Christ. Okay? All right? Joseph in the Old Testament was a type of Christ. Let's go back in Genesis, the 41st chapter. Rebecca, are you over there, Genesis 41? We'll get both of you up here at the same time. We'll get... You want to come up here and read Genesis 41?
From the Amplified?
Bring them both. All right, we'll look at both of them real quick.
We'll be a three-ring circus tonight.
Yeah, here we all are up here.
Which one do you want me to read first?
Read this one first.
Okay.
All right.
41, but... Which verse?
45 and 46.
42, 45, right?
Yeah, 41, 45.
And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him as a wife Asnath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt.
All right, now, let's look at this. This double type, okay? Let's look at this double type. I think that's all right. Julie. Luke 3:23. I want you to bring that one up in just a minute. All right. Now, here we have Pharaoh gave the name to Joseph, Zaphnath-Paneah. What does that mean? The Savior of the world. The Savior of the world. And right here, in Greek, we have that written out. Right here, in Greek. Ho soter tu kosmou. Joseph was called the Savior of the whole land or the world. Okay? He was called the Savior of the whole land of the world. Thank you, Brandy. And now we have Jesus called the Savior of the world. To the Jews, he was a doctor. That's all. He was a real good practitioner. And they kept accusing him of healing people on the Sabbath. Did he not? Did he heal a lot of people on the Sabbath? But he wasn't a doctor. He was the Creator. He raised the dead people. That's pretty good. How many of the doctors raised the dead? Hadn't done that very much time. He raised people who had been dead for 3 days, at least. That's Lazarus, you know. He raised several dead people. He healed the blind, which no one had ever done. All right? He created food for people to eat. He gave them a sample case of the millennial blessings that they could have had right then. The Jews said all he is a doctor, and he's cashing in on all of this. They're giving him offerings. They're doing all this kind of stuff, and all he is a doctor, and he's practicing his trade on the Sabbath. He's breaking our law. And the Samaritan says, he's the Savior of the world. He's the Savior of all of us. He's the Savior of the Jews and the Gentiles. He's even come to us dogs. Us Samaritans. He has saved us too. He has saved us too. Now, if you go back there, we have Zaphnath-Paneah, okay? The Savior of the world. If you translate it into Greek, it's Ho Soter Tu Kosmou. Same thing. Alright? In Greek. And Asenath, that was his wife. Alright? That was Joseph's wife. And her name means belonging to the goddess Neith, or Isis. And then Potiphar, his father-in-law, his name whom Ra gave. Ra was her great god, you know, in Egypt. They had lots of them. But Joseph is going to have a great revival in Egypt, which is a type of Samaria. And then, Julie, 3:23. Let's look at one more avenue of this type. All right? Luke 3:23.
Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry, and he was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph.
All right. How old was Joseph? He was 30 years old when he became, and he went throughout all the land of Egypt as the king of Egypt. People, Jesus was the king of Jews. When Pontius Pilate wrote down, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, and the Jews wanted them to... That's what he put over the cross. That's why he's being crucified. Because he said he was the King of the Jews. And they said, change it! He said, what I have written on my own hand is going to stay there. And they also asked him for a guard. Well, the Roman guards, and I don't care how many movies of Roman guards were there, they didn't get any. Those were Jewish guards. Those were temple guards. Those were Herod's guards. They didn't have any Roman guards in that. So here we have a double pipe, and we have all of these scriptures down here that cross-reference to this one. Isn't that a beautiful place to quit? Huh? That's where I was trying to get tonight. It was to that area right here. The double type. Actually, the triple type. Joseph was called the Savior of the world. Jesus is called the Savior of the world by these Jews, or by these Samaritans. He began his ministry at 30 when he was 30 years old, and he went throughout the land. He went throughout the land. In Latin, it's suscitator vitae, the giver of life. If Joseph hadn't been sent to Egypt, there was a lot of people would have died, wouldn't they? If God's Son hadn't come to the world, everybody would have died and gone to hell. I don't care how many promises God made, until it was fulfilled, they weren't valid. Do you know that? All of those people in the Old Testament looked forward to the Savior, the Messiah, coming. And all the promises that if they did this and they did that, they would be forgiven. And they were held in Sheol, or Hades, the place of departed spirits. But not one of them could be saved until Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. And not one of them could be justified until he was raised from the dead. Isn't that a beautiful story? Beautiful story. And where was Joseph buried? Where was Joseph buried? Right here. Right here is where Joseph is buried. They took Joseph and they buried him right here by Jacob's well. That's where he was buried. That's where he was buried. In the book of Jasher, it tells you that he was buried right there. Maybe we'll do that when we start off next week, because we ran over a little bit tonight. Do you have any questions? I know almost always you do. Julie, do you have, did you have one too? No. Brandy?
How big was Samaria at this time?
I couldn't tell you that offhand. All right. It has been continuously occupied ever since they came back into the land. The Samaritans are the most genetically pure people in the world. I can tell you that much. They are the most genetically pure people in the world because they're inbred. They will not breed with anybody else. They don't have anything to do with any outsiders. They just don't do it. They only will marry in their own people. And they consider themselves much holier and much more orthodox than the Jews up in Jerusalem. Down at the Qumran area, the Qumran caves, those people down there, they were the direct descendants of the real priest. Herod had run the real priest off, killed a lot of them. He completely depopulated the Sanhedrin court and all of that. He put his own men in there. A lot of them left and went down to the Qumran area, and they were the ones who copied the Dead Sea Scrolls. Okay, what were the major books? They copied almost all of the books of the Old Testament, but what were the other apocryphal books that they copied? What was the most copied book at the Dead Sea? Very, very apocalyptic book. Huh? No. They did Isaiah. But what was it? Daniel. What was the most apocryphal? Who was the greatest preacher of the Old Testament times? Huh? Enoch. The book that they copied more than anything was Enoch, and Enoch is pure eschatology. Purely apocalyptic. What? Eschatology. You go to the website, go to discoverthewordwithdrjim.com or studythewordwithdrjim.com, and on the front of there you will see the book of Enoch, and you can read the book of Enoch without ever having to buy it. It's there. Okay? Anyway, that was the most copied book. Of course, another very popular book was the book of Jasher. All right? The book of Jasher, which is a historical book. It is a book of history. It is not inspired, but it is a history book by a writer. All right? And those are the two of the most common books because they have a lot of eschatology in them, a lot of end times, and they were expecting the Messiah to come. And many of those people did believe. Some of them did not. Many of them had heard the preaching of John the Baptist. Now here we got some real, over there in Samaria, we got some real Orthodox, super gung-ho extremists, and down there at Qumran we have some more. Up there in Samaria, they will only study and recognize the first five books of the Bible, only Moses' writing, because they said, that's inspired. We know that. We don't know about the rest of them guys. all those prophets. But we know that Moses was. All right, and of course the Jews accept all the prophets, all the other part of the Old Testament. The Qumranians, of course, had all the books of the Bible. I think the only one, Esther is the only one that's not there. All right. Did I answer your question?
Yes, and I was just thinking, it says so many people came to Christ at this time, but then later, you know, Peter and John were sent back to Samaria,
mm-hmm.
and the church was started and things in Samaria. So I was
There were church members in Samaria, and I think there's a lot of people there, probably 5,000-10,000 maybe, at least that many, because it was talking about a great multitude there. All right. You ready to go out and do something eternal? You ready to go out and sow? All right. Go out and sow. All right. Well, Sharon, you want to come up here and dismiss us in prayer tonight, young lady? Tell Mike I missed him.
I'd really rather be here.
Yeah, then I go out here working on throwing the air conditioner heater.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for every blessing you give us, Lord. Thank you that you know every hair on our head. Thank you for your living word, Lord, even the Old Testament, which is the living word for the New Testament. And thank you, Lord, for Jim teaching us this, even we leave a little confused every now and then, Lord, but thank you that we have the freedom to learn this. And thank you for all your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. What was my message on Sunday morning? Any of you remember? You interpret the known, the unknown by the known. You always go the known from the known into the unknown. When you have a biblical truth, you go from that. And you lead, and it leads you on the Old Testament. We interpret the New Testament by the Old Testament to fulfill prophecies. And that's what the whole gospel of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, was all about.
All right. Thank you.